Hey, what time is it now? It's almost 8:30. Ibailahu. So we're on Daf Hey Amid Beis, and we're going to just review what we know and then move forward. Ibailahu mahu livol betchila b'Shabbos. Okay then, dam mifkid pakid o chibure mechbere. Now we said the following, that Meleches Chabura would only make sense if I hold a dam is what? Chibure Mechbre. V'yimtim Salomar de dam Mifkad Pakid. So we could be Matir Be'ilah Rishona B'Shabbos as far as Meleches Chabura is concerned, because dam is Mifkad Pakid. L'dam hu tzarech v'shari o dilmo l'pesach hu tzarech v'asir. Meaning that an additional problem beyond Meleches Chabura is Meleches Asiyas Pesach, which Rashi identifies as Kibboneh, and that's Rashi's Shitaso that says on Daf Vav Amid Beis that even Begufo Shel Adam there's Meleches Boneh. So that if L'dam Hu Tzarech, then what we have is a Kavana for Chabura. But since it's Mifkad Pakin, he's not Chayev Mishum Chabura. And therefore, if you raise the issue of Meleches Boneh, because of Pesach, but L'dam Hu Tzarech, and if it's L'dam Hu Tzarech, then he's not interested in making a Pesach. What he's doing is getting out the Dam. Why is he getting out the Dam? So Tosfos offers two interpretations. One is, he wants to know if she's a Basula or not, and the other is, he wants to remove the Dam so that he won't get mislachlech b'dam in future bios. So again, so if it's the dam hu tzarech and dam nifkid pakin, then the Gemara says it certainly should be mutter. And why is that? Because he's not chayv mishum chabur because of dam nifkid pakin. He's not chayv mishum pesach because we're holding now like Rav Shimon that dover sheder miskaven is mutter. Odilma, the Gemara says, lepesach utzarech, he wants to create a Pesach. That'll make it better for him, easier for him in the future to have bios. And therefore, asur, he is in violation of Meleches Boneh. So here Rashi asks a question. Rashi says, even if he doesn't have an intention for creating a Pesach, so he's not miskaving for that Melacha, but Rashi says, in any event, it is a psik resha. And in the next line, the Gemara is going to say, "Im tum tzaloma l'dam hu tzarech hu pesach mimela kasi is halacha ki Rav Shimon di over dadam shein miskamim muta." But we know that Rav Shimon is moda in a case of a psik resha, which literally means you chop off the head of the chicken, you can't expect the chicken to live. But in the case of the sugya, he carries very heavy chairs through a soft ground, and he's definitely going to make charitzim. And that's a case in which Rav Shimon agrees that even if he's ain't a miskaven, he's chayev. Now, why is Rav Shimon moda in the case of psik resha? So there are two, there are two ways of understanding that. One way is to understand it as making a dover sheino miskaven into miskaven, meaning how can you tell me that you didn't intend to do something when you knew 100% for sure it's going to happen? So you're carrying very heavy chairs. You know, you know that the ground is soft. It's going to make furrows in the ground. So you can't tell me that you didn't have intention for something that you did. You chopped off the head of a chicken, and you tell me, "Oh, I think the chicken is going to live." You know, that's who you're fooling. So that's called psik resha. The other way of interpreting psik resha, and this is very famous in the name of Rebbe Elchanan. Did you ever hear Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman? Yeah, he was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And Rabbi Chanan was famous for saying that why is Rabbi Shimon convinced that if you didn't have intention and Dov Hashem is coming, then you're mutter, you're allowed to do it. So he said, because every action of what's called a Dov Hashem is coming really can be divided into two. In Hebrew, we'd say, Yesh po shtei pu'ulot. There are two actions going on over here. On the one hand, you're transporting a chair from place X to place Y. But on the other hand, you're also making furrows in the ground because of the heavy weight of the chair. So the question is, in a case where a person is involved in two different pulot, there are a number of possibilities. One possibility is to say that, let's say, action A relates to him, but not action B. The other way is to say action B relates to him, but not action A. The third way is to say is both actions relate to him. So Rabbi Chanan said, that's where Rav Shimon came up with his kavana element. When I don't know if Pa'ula A relates to me, or Pa'ula B relates to me, then the Kosav HaShlishi, the final determination, is going to be made by what? By kavana. So if he had kavana for A, then Pa'ula A relates to him. If he had kavana for B, then Pa'ula B relates to him. If he had kavana for both A and B, because both are beneficial for him, then he's the Baal Maisa for both A and B at the same time. Oh. Why are you saying Davar Shein Miskaven is Mutter? Because there are two Pu'ulot here. Says Rabbi Chanan, when can you determine that there are two Pu'ulot? That's only if you did Pu'ula A, and perhaps Pu'ula B is going to happen. But we don't know statistically whether it will happen or it won't happen. We'll have to ask the probability experts, you know, the statistics, the actuaries, they know. Right? I'll tell you, I took a lot of courses in college, but one course I didn't want to take a statistic. I knew it wasn't for me. I have a very close relative of mine who took statistics and she failed. So I said, I'm not taking statistics. But whatever it is, Rabbi Chana wants to say that you're allowed to split Pa'ula A from Pa'ula B because Pa'ula B is unknown, it's uncertain. But the very moment I know it's certain, then both A and B are one Pa'ula. It's one and the same. So he asked me, what is cutting off a head of a chicken? So you're going to tell me, well, cutting off the head of a chicken means I'm gaining the head. You know, I want to give it to my child to play with. You know, I don't know.
Can't you think of the consequences?
Right, so...
The old story about the axe and the hammer on the board, you know, it flies off and kills somebody.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Horeg Bishoge.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, he killed somebody.
Yeah, well...
Inadvertently, not
eventually. So the guy is pulling the... what do you say, making a groove?
The chairs, and he's making grooves in the ground.
Should think before he...
Correct. So Rabbi Chanan says, if you know that by transporting the tree, by dragging it on the chair, and dragging it on the ground, you know you're going to make these furrows in the ground, you can't tell me that I wasn't making furrows, I was transporting a chair. If it's 100% certain...
Yeah. But you think, plan your... I'm sorry, it's not my chair. Plan your circumstances, plan your...
Correct. You should see the repercussions of your actions. That's exactly it. Says Rabbi Chanan, if you cut off the head of a chicken, you know the chicken's going to die. I mean, everybody knows the chicken's going to die. Therefore, I have no right to say that the death of the chicken is a separate pula. And I didn't have kavana for that pula. We collapsed the two pulot into one, and therefore you had kavana for both, because there's only one pula. But that's only in the case of a psik ratio where we know it's going to happen. If we don't know it's going to happen, then we have the right to make a split, bifurcate between Pula A and Pula B, and then Kavana could come into the picture to determine, tip the scale in favor of A is relating to but not B.
I mean, dragging the chair may not, in other words, there's a chance that it doesn't.
Correct. If it means that the ground is either the ground is very solid or the chair is very light. So then, you know, you may make furrows, you may not make furrows, there's no psik ratio. So in any event, let's talk now about making a Pesach in the case of Be'ilas Mitzvah. We know that you're making an opening. Even though, let's say he's not interested in making an opening because he wants to just get the dam out, so he's not motivated for that binyan, but nevertheless, he knows it's going to happen. That's Rashi's question over here. If you take a look,
like the case of dragging, in other words, it's not 100%.
In Rashi's question, it is 100%. That's what Rashi's bothered by. Let's see the Rashi inside.
But is that accurate?
Let's see the Rashi inside. Rashi says, "Oh, Kirab Shimon Umuta." You see where the lines get very thin in Rashi, towards the bottom. He says Vim Tomar. It's very rare that Rashi says Vim Tomar. Usually Tosis says Vim Tomar, but Rashi says Vim Tomar. Psik Reisha Velo Yamasu. Correct. If he has a Maisa Bia, then he's going to make a Pesach. He's opening up the Pesach. So Rashi says, Parachina leila kamon. The Gemara later on is going to ask this question. Mashanina. The Gemara answers yesh bekin ba'atoya. There's a way of doing be'ila rishona without breaking the membrane and without opening a pesach. The ein hadam yotze, and the dam is not going to come out. The af ein pesach niftach. And he won't be opening a Pesach. Hilkach, therefore, la psikresha v'lo yomusu. It's not called a psikresha. Now, there are two questions that we have to raise on this, Rashi. First of all, Rashi says that he can do it b'hatoya. What do you mean he might do it b'hatoya? Yesh, the Gemara says, yesh b'kiyin b'hatoya.
But to me, it sounds like it's not an issue if he's a bucky or not. It's just an issue that you don't always break. In other words,
so are you looking at the individual who's being boiled, or are you looking at the action in abstract terms? Do you follow my question?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you? Yeah, go ahead.
It's not much, but it's definitely going to happen.
Exactly, it's not going to definitely happen.
But I'm saying in this scenario, it definitely will happen. I'll tell you why. Because he's not a bucky. Yesh b'kiyin
b'hatoya. But even if you're not a bucky, it doesn't necessarily happen. The Metzias is, depending...
I don't know if Rashi has a right to draw that conclusion. The Gemara says, Yesh B'kiyin
B'Atoya. In other words, Atoya is just, to me, it sounds like that's just an example, in other words, of where there are those out there that know how to do it.
Right,
B'Atoya. And then there are those people even not intending to do
right.
B'Atoya.
So like they fall into it inadvertently.
They don't want to do B'Atoya, but it's their first time having religion, they're going
to
end up...
Why do we have to say when Rashi says Yesh B'kiyin that it's not necessarily the Chassan? Who's a bucky?
No, because the Gemara tells us later on that since there are bakiyim b'hatoya, we might, when the Gemara vacillates on this point, we might reject his argument when he says, I didn't find dam,
because
maybe he's a bucky. But the impression you get from the sugya is that we don't know how many bakiyim there are out there, and it's a special bakiyus. You know, whenever the Gemara uses the term baki, like for example, when the Gemara talks about a rofe, you know, a doctor who tells you that you have to eat on Yom Kippur, the Gemara says he's a baki. Or for example, if somebody shechts an animal, and we don't know if he's learned, if he's studied, you know, the sugya, the whole parsha of Shechita, so we say he has to be a baki in Shechita. But unless you have that special talent, the assumption is you're not a baki. Now Aaron is saying, which is a valid approach, but I just don't think it fits into the Gemara, that maybe he, even if he's not a baki, might fall into it and do it by toya. My impression was that it's very rare for someone to be able to do it this way. But I want to point out that this Rashi is difficult for another reason, and this makes life even more complicated for us. Because Rashi says that if you do it by toya, ein dam yotze, the ein pesach niftach. Rashi says the dam is not going to come out if you do it by toya. Now our fellow that we're talking about here is interested in what?
Dam.
In dam. The Gemara says the dam utzare. Pesach memela kos. So his intention is not to create the Pesach. That's why we're invoking Reb Shimon's Dovah Shem's coming. His intention is to get the dam out. So how could it be that yesh b'kiyim b'atoya when he's definitely doing it in a way that it's not b'atoya? I would even go further in my second question. I would say, Lava Zogin, I'll grant you that he is a baki in atoya. But that's not relevant to us. Because he's not doing it by Hatoya. The Gemara says he's not doing it by Hatoya. The Gemara says he's doing it for the purpose of getting the dam out. That's not Hatoya. It seems from Rashi, and this I'm telling you, I don't understand. Maybe when we get to the Sugya Davov, we'll take this under advisement. That there's a way of having beer, getting out the dam, but leaving the Pesach Sosnum, and it's still closed. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, maybe the Pesach, you know, in order to open up the Pesach, you need a certain kind of a very powerful thrust or something like that, without going into great details. And what he's able to do is a hatoya in which some of the dam will come out, but some is still left in there. The nafkamina is that he hasn't yet opened the Pesach.
The dam is mamela, and he doesn't want the Pesach.
What is that? That's a fault?
My daughter's fault by mistake.
Oh, wow. I'll tell you something.
I'll tell you often.
How old is your daughter? Is she a teenager?
No, she's a doctor.
Oh, so that explains it. That's even, that, a doctor gets even more phone calls than a teenager.
I don't know how to say. Does anyone know? I can try.
You know, when I heard your phone going off, I thought there was a train coming.
No, I managed to tell her we've got her house number to.
Okay.
I've got it. She didn't know.
Okay.
I picked up my mistake. I'm obviously.
Any chance that she might be a gynecologist? Well, she could help us a lot with this. Yeah. Give us some shots.
Let's call her.
No, she knows. She knows. No, she's not ringing. Probably it's. Friends or something.
Okay.
Not sure.
He wants the dog.
Right.
I don't think I did.
But, and the dog's not a problem because it's Mamela, so it's not a problem with Chabura. But, and he gets rid of the problem of Binyan because he doesn't make a Pesach.
Right. He's not, no, not that he doesn't make a Pesach. He's not interested in the Pesach. He's making a Pesach, but Pesach, he, that doesn't motivate him. He doesn't care about the Pesach. He cares about the dog. That's what he's focused on.
But how do we
get that's called the Dov. So Rashi says, but we know that he's going to make a Pesach. We can predict it. It's certain up front, and therefore it's a psychration. Rav Shimon is not going to help you over here, because even Rav Shimon admits that this becomes a Dovra Meskavin. So Rashi answers, you know what? It's not a psychration. Why? Because Yesh Bekim Batoy. There are those who are experts. But what difference does it make? He's interested in getting out the Dam. That's what the Gemara says explicitly. You can't erase the Gemara. In fact, that's the whole reason why the Gemara says it's a Dov Shein Miskavim, because he just wants the Dam. He's not interested in the Pesach, but he's going to make the Pesach. Because if he's taking out the Dam, then by definition he's making the Pesach. And apparently Rashi, and here's where we need a good chart here, you know, some good diagram. Rashi is assuming that you can somehow be a Boel Bahatoya in such a way that you take out the Dam, but you leave the Pesach Sosum. The Pesach is still not open.
That doesn't seem...
That's pretty wild. I mean,
is that real?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what I see in this Rashi.
Is there any way to get Dam out without making a...
Now, there could be another way of saying it. And I don't know, I thought Aaron, you were saying this before, but I'm not sure. It could be that psik ratio depends not upon the individual, but psik ratio depends upon the abstract definition of the action. You remember that we said in the name of Rabbi Chanan that what does psik ratio do? It collapses these two actions into one. You can't tell me you're taking the head, but you're not killing the chicken. It's all the same. You want to kill the chicken, you cut off its head. You can't split it into two pu'ulot, as we said, two actions. It could be that in the framework of Rabbi Chanan's definition of psik ratio, it's my chiddush, psik ratio or not psik ratio depends upon the abstract definition of the maisa. Not the way he's doing it, the fall in actuality, but the abstract definition. We want to know what the pula is. Is it one pula, two pulas? Well, if somewhere in the universe you can split the two, then it's not a psik ratio. It's like if you're familiar with the philosophy of Plato. You all heard of Plato, right? Who's an ancient Greek. And he felt that there were two parts to the universe. There's the material part and there's the corresponding ideal part. What we're looking at here to define psik ratio is the ideal maisa. The ideal maisa is yesh b'kiyum b'atoya. You can have a maisa beer and yet it doesn't make a Pesach. I'll give you an example. The Gemara says in Zvachim that if a person takes an adava to bring yayin, what's called, do you remember we discussed this once? I don't know if you recall. There's something called a nidavas yayin. You could be no Dave to bring yayin onto the mizbeach. And the Gemara asks the following question: wait a minute. There's a law in the Torah not to put the eish on the mizbeach out. You know, that's a pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra. I think it's in Perek Vav. It says there lo yichbe, that you cannot extinguish the fire on the mizbeach. So the Gemara asks in Zvachim, how could we allow him to bring a nidvas yayin the very moment that he pours the yayin on the eish? Then by definition, it's going to cause kibui. So the Gemara says, this Gemara reflects the sheet of Rav Shimon. It's an Eino Miskavni. His kavana, excuse me, is to be Makayim the din of Ziluf yayin. That's what he's interested in. He has no interest in kibui. So Rashi right away asks the question, what?
Secretion.
Some secretion. If you pour liquids onto a fire, it's going to cause kibui. So Rashi says, Yochel Hoya Lassos Tipin Dapas. He could have taken the Yayin if he had plenty of time, and he could have dropped it in, you know, like, what do they call that thing, you know, that, you know, if you want to get, you know, medicine out of the thing, that tripper, what do they call that tripper? What's it called?
Eyedropper,
you call it? Okay, we'll call it an eyedropper. So he could have dropped the Yayin, tipin, Rashi says. You know, one drop at a time, and the fire is so high, it's so profound, that it wouldn't cause any kibbutz. Yeah, but that's not what he's doing. Now, halacha doesn't require that he take his little dropper and drop the wine. Rashi's only saying that theoretically he could have done it that way. But how does that undermine the problem of psik reisha? And the answer is, again, I think with this Rabbi Chanan, maybe we can go and say that there are two different pu'ulot here. Psik reisha would combine them into one pu'ula. There's no way under the sun, in any ideal theoretical world, that you could take off the head of a chicken and the chicken would live. But in the case of Ziluf Yayin, there is a way of being Makai in the midst of Ziluf Yayin without Kibui. And therefore we look at the Maisa and define it as a Maisa Ziluf, despite the fact that he's doing it befall in a way which is definitely going to cause Kibui. So again, Rabbo say, it could very well be that this Rashi here about Yesh Bekiyim Batoya, Rashi doesn't mean that this guy is doing Batoya. It would be ridiculous because he's trying to get the Dam out. That's what you should think. The Gemara says it explicitly. The answer is that psik reisha or not psik reisha depends on your abstract definition of the mice.
Lomaisa, how do we operate with this concept in halacha when we're trying to decide something is or is not psik reisha? If we have this very, very broad definition that in the world the possibility exists, but the outcome won't occur,
then it's not a psik reisha.
You have a very liberal.
Well, what you have when you say in the world it exists, you have to give. You have to give me the facts and figures on the ground, you know, the statistics of what's going
dragging
on.
Dragging the bench would never be elsewhere.
No, I'm saying, dragging the bench, if it's a very heavy bench and the ground is soft, then there's no, even then you are making charitzim. That's one pu'ula. It's only in the case when you're defining an action in abstract, like a maisa bi'ila, of bi'ila rishona, where you're talking about a kiyum of ziluf, that might be a non-psik reisha situation because of the abstract theoretical possibility that you could be Makayim Ziluf without putting out the eye. You could be Makayim Be'ila Rishona without making a pesach. Okay, Rabbos, I'm just, you know, obviously, you know, we're not even scratching the surface here, but just as we go through the sugya, I wanted you to keep this all in mind. Well, now the Gemara says, O halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Dover She'eno Miskaven Asur. And Rabbosai, let me just remind you that when Rabbi Yehuda says that a Dover She'eno Miskaven Asur, is that a Chumer in Hilchas Shabbos or is that a universal Allah and Kol Torah Kul? Don't all answer at once. Remember we discussed the case of the Nazir.
Yeah.
You remember the Nazir, when he combs his hair, or when he does chafifa, which, you know, shampoos his hair, inevitably he's going to remove hair from his head, which is an isa tiglachas Nazir, it's a lav d'oraisa for a Nazir. So the Gemara says that according to Shimon, we're going to allow it. Why? Because the Dovash ain't a miscavi. Again, he has to do it in a way that you don't know for sure he's pulling out the hairs. Otherwise, it would be psikresha in Rav Shimon's mode. But assuming there's no psikresha, he's allowed to do it, says Rav Shimon. And Rav Yehuda argues. Why does Rav Yehuda argue? Because Dovah Shein of Miskavi is also.
It's beyond Shabbos.
Correct, and it's beyond Shabbos. We're not talking about Shabbos.
You're allowed to say comb your hair.
You could comb your hair, but if you're a Nazir, and you're not allowed to, a Nazir is not allowed to take hair out of his head.
You can't help sometimes, you know.
So it's almost impossible to avoid this. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Yehuda says he can't do this. You know, again, what does he do to get the knots out of his hair? That we'll have to ask a barber, you know, some professional. But and for example, the Gemara says there are certain medications. Again, we'd have to ask your daughter. Maybe she'd help us here. But she's calling. Ask her if I'm right about this. That there are certain medications that you take to cure yourself of a certain illness. We'll call the illness X. But as a result, you become mesuras. Mesuras means that you won't be able to have children as a result. In other words, it'll change your reproductive organs in an irreversible way. Now, that's a lav d'oraisa. Lav d'oraisa. Again, for pikuach nefesh, will do it. You know, hysterectomies or whatever it is. that's a different story. But in general, we don't allow sirus. Even in animals, it's a whole to do whether sirus is muta. But certainly in human beings, it's a lav d'oraisa. So the Gemara says that this would depend upon Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. He's interested in taking the medicine to cure himself of heart disease. Inadvertently, it creates a certain sirus. Rav Shimon says it's okay. His intention is for this. Again, if it's not a secretion. According to Rav Yehuda, it's awesome. I'm just giving you a few examples. The examples of Melifont. I'll give you a third example, just because we're on the topic. I like to talk about this example because it's very relevant during the winter months. The Gemara tells us that if you mix in a beged wool and linen, that's called what? Shatnez. You're not allowed to wear that. But the Gemara tells us also that there were people who would sell begadim and mochrik sus, and they couldn't carry it all. You know, whatever they took in the suitcase, they took. But in order to have extra begadim with them, they actually wore them. So if you ever see someone walking down the street with a lot of begadim, one on top of the other, I mean, if it's at tzitzis, it may be a talmid or a shiver. But other than that, you know, why is he wearing so many begadim? He's selling them. I remember we used to read a children's book to my kids, excellent book about hats. Yeah, what was it called? I don't remember the name of it.
Bartholomew Cubbins.
What was it called?
Bartholomew Cubbins.
Bartholomew Cubbins. He used to sell hats, so he had all these hats on his head. Right? It was a beautiful book, very colorful. I wanted to give a lecture series here on children's books. Yeah. What musa you can learn from children's books?
Why don't you?
Yeah, would there be people interested?
Okay.
I hold that you give a Musa Shmuz on every book of Dr. Seuss. Right, Berenstein's Bears, I mean, that is Musa all over the place. You know what I mean? But there are a whole bunch of books, yeah. And Bartholomew Cubits, but also there's my favorite is, what was that name? Penelope's Shoes. Do you remember that? Oh, that's a masterpiece. Penelope's Shoes. It's a lot of Amkus there. But the King's Stilts by Seuss, or for example, Horton Hears a Who. I mean, that's amazing. I can give a half hour lecture just on the who of Horton. All right. So be that as it may, it says over here that the issue of Be'ila Rishona in the case of Dam Mifkid Pocket and Ledam Hutzar for Pesach Mimela Ka'asi depends upon the machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Now we'll go on. V'im Timtza Lomar Halacha K'Rav Yehuda. So we thought we came to a Mavoy Satum, how do you call it in English? To a dead end. You know, once you admit to me that we're holding like Rav Yehuda, that Dov Shenim Skavit is Osir, now we're really in trouble. So Gemara says, no, there's still a way out. You see, the Gemara is trying to, the agenda of the Gemara is to try to come for a heter for Vilas Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, maybe Makalkil who ate Salat Pesach. I'm not sure if this Pesach, even if you're like Rabbi Yehuda, Dom Shenim Skavin is awesome, I'm not sure if this is Melechas Pesach. Why? Because it's possible to define this Pesach as a Kilkul. Now you ask me, why is it a Kilkul? Apparently, a besula is worth more than a beula. And the proof is in the ksuba. The ksuba for a besula is masayim. It's twice as much as the ksuba of a beula. So basically, her value, in quotation marks, goes down as a result of beula. Don't tell this, to a bride, because she might not submit herself to beula's mitzvah. She'll be very upset about this. But in halachic terms, it might permit Be'ilas mitzvah on Shabbos, because even if I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, Dor Shein Miskavin is awesome. But in this case, we're going to apply the principle of Mekalkel who Eitzel HaPesach.
Is it just a basula issue, or is it physically that you've, in other words, it's the woman's body is created that way, and now you've...
I don't think that's a kilkul. I'm not sure, but maybe somebody will say such a thing. I did not see anyone who said such a thing. What I saw is that a basula is chashuva min haba'ula. That's what Rashi and the Mefarshim.
But then it just straight up physically that you've done damage to the body.
I don't think so. I don't. I'm not sure. I don't think there's any damage. I don't know. Maybe there is. You have to, again, we have to ask a gynecologist for expert expert witness.
It's like the questions Rabbi Akiva, and if God created perfect, then why do Mila? In other words, if God created the woman, if God created the woman that way, so you're making it imperfect. I mean, in some
maybe in the same way that we say that that Mila somehow as a mitzvah, you know, perfects a person.
Right. I'm saying that's the other side, but if you look at it, you could also look at it. It comes out of the factory this way.
So Aaron, all I can tell you is that when you say something and it's intelligent, but I didn't see it anywhere, I always tell you the following, and don't take it personally. No, I mean it. You know, you could say chidushim, but I didn't see that. So I'm gonna go with the well-trodden path over here. Okay then? And if you look at Rashi, about five lines down in the wide lines, Rashi Shabsula Chashuva Min Abulu. Those are the words I want to focus on, and that's called Kilku. Oh, Misakin Hu Etzel Pesach. Oh, but this is very interesting. I would underline the word Hu, meaning subject. On an objective level, you might be right. It's a Kilku because a Beula is less Chashuva than a Besula. But on a personal subjective level, from his perspective, he wants to open up a Pesach. Even though that's not his main motivation, but certainly a Pesach is something that he needs. But Chassam Sofer here on this sugya says, because the Be'ilu Rishon is meant to make her into a Kli, Sheboim al Yidei Kach Lepiri Verivya. And as a result of his creating this Pesach, he will be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Piri of Arivia. And that was quoted by Tosa on Daf Dalet based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Now here, I would like to share with you a question of the Rashba. The Rashba asks the following kash. If, let's say, I agree with the Gemara that side in the Gemara that Mekalkel Hu Eitzel HaPesach, is that enough to be Matir Be'ilah Rishon on Shabbos? Is a person allowed to do a Malacha B'Mekalkel on Shabbos, albeit Min Rabbanon it's also? So even if you've solved the problem on a Doraisa level, you still have an Isur D'Rabbanon.
So Isur.
Say it again?
It's you're destroying something?
Right, you're not allowed to destroy something on Shabbos. Again, on a Doraisa level, you're okay, because Mekalkil is not considered a Malacha, but the Rabbanan are going to answer it. And basically, take this as a rule of thumb. Whenever the Torah says on Shabbos that you're potter, because it's not a Malacha Chashuva, the Rabbanan are going to tell you not to do it. For example, in Shari Suri Torah, outside the realm of Shabbos, there's no such thing as a Ptur Mekalkel. We couldn't care less whether you do an Avera B'Mekalkel or B'Metakel. You know, if a guy eats Chazer and he's going to get sick from it, it doesn't matter. He ate Chazer and he'll get Malkus for it. We don't care whether it's Metakel or Mekalkel. So whenever you have a special unique Ptur in Hilchah Shabbos, the Rabbanan are going to say it's awesome. For example, a malacha shena tzricha legufa, which is potter in Shabbos, is chayev and kol tarkula. It's awesome in Rabban. Misasek, which would be potter in Shabbos in certain cases, and only in Shabbos, is going to be asur lechatchila mir Rabbanon, because it's a unique p'tur of Shabbos. By the way, what would you say about Reb Shimon's davar shena miskaveh? Would that be awesome in Rabbanon? Notice that the Gemara wanted to say that if he's not interested in the Pesach, but it was just B'ein HaMiskavim that he made the Pesach, the Gemara says it would be Mutter. What happened with the Nisa D'Rabbanan? What's the answer? Because Tov B'ein HaMiskavim is not a Shabbos halacha, it's a universal halacha in Kol Tarkul, as we discussed all those different sugyas, where Reb Shimon is Matir in Kol Tarkul. So when do we ask for something D'Rabbanan? We say kidei lahashvos Shabbos l'shar yisur shara veris. When we want to equalize we want to neutralize all the distinctions between Shabbos and shari surim, then we're going to aser it midrabban. Because when there's a special p'tur in Shabbos, the rabbanan are going to aser it. But if it's a p'tur that's universal, it applies to all yisurim Torah. We're just in this case we have to be dealing with Shabbos, then it's mutl l'chatchila. So that's a good rule to keep in mind. Now, mekalkel belongs to which category? Is that universal or is that a Shabbos p'tur? So Shabbos p'tur. So what do I automatically assume? Should be awesome in Rabbanon. So how can the Gemara assume that, well, if he's mekalkelates on Pesach, therefore the Bilur Rishon is mutter? So Tosus says that in order to justify this Gemara, we have to add three different variables together. The first variable is mekalkel. The second variable is eino miskaven. And the third variable is b'makom mitzvah. He says that when we make this cholent in which we add A, B, and C, then it's mutu l'chatchila, and even the Yisid Ravonin is removed. So let's go over the three elements here. Number one, he's not doing a meleches tikkun because a besul is chashuba min ha ba'ula, right? So that's mekalkel. Number two, he's not miskaven. Correct, because he wants to get the dam out. He's not interested in making a Pesach. And number three, it's also a mitzvah of Bila Rishon. So when you combine A, B, and C together, it's mutl chatchila.
How do we know they combine?
No, right now I'm going to tell you the following. It's not combining, it's pushing mathematics, it's arithmetic.
Right, in other words,
on a more lavdishal level, maybe you could integrate all these three into one. I don't know how to do that. Right now what we're saying is that when the Rabbanan pile a shvus on top of a shvus, meaning b'toris mekalkel, it's also midin shvus. B'toris ain't a miskaven, it's also midin shvus. So you have a double Rabbanan and b'makom mitzvah and the Rabbanan are going to drop it. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do. Right.
I'll give you an example. Let's say you could find a way, if you could find a way of getting a Filipino woman to turn on the air conditioner in the shul on a very hot Shabbos without violating Amir Lakum directly. I don't know how you do that, but let's say you could do such a thing. So it could be that then it would be a double shvus.
Right.
And if it's double shvus and it's a makom mitzvah because the tzibur can't take the heat, maybe it could be mine. You know, so I'm just giving you a little bit of a l'saber ta'ozi. So I have a kasha. My kasha is that the Gemara is assuming now that the halach is like whom in the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon Rav Tov Hashem is coming. Look at the Gemara again. The Gemara says, V'imtim tzal, Brian, you came in a little late. Can I show you where the Gemara is?
Yeah, please.
V'imtim tzal lomar. Do you see where there's a tosis on Hayam and Beis that says Dam Mifkid Pokid? Do you see such a thing?
How many lines now?
No, I'm saying, if look at Tosis on the right side of your page, on Hayam and Beis. Do you see a Tosis that says, Dam Mifkid Pokid? So if you draw a straight line across there, and drop one line, you'll see towards the end of that line, V'im Timtzel Omar. Okay, this is where you're diving into the sugya. So you'll have to trust me that everything I said until now is correct. Which is a highly questionable presumption, but we'll let you go by. So v'im timtzel omar halacha k'Rav Yehuda, which means that dava she'eino miskaven is asur, is then mekalkel hu etzel haPesach, and if it's mekalkel, then it's mutter. Because the Pesach really reduces or lowers her status. Let's just put it in. So now we have a case of a mekalkel, and it's a dover sheino miskaven. And it's for makom mitzvah, because bilas mitzvah is a mitzvah. But I don't get it. The Gemara says, Intim tzalomah halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. So how can you add dover sheino miskaven into this whole discussion? You really can reduce it to two elements. You can talk about mekalkel, and you can talk about dvar mitzvah, litzorich mitzvah, but you can't talk about dover sheino miskaven. That's invalid. That's what we call in basketball a foul. And yet, Tosfos and the Rashba, they all quote this halacha of dover sheino miskaven. It's a pella, no? So you have to know something. Rabbi said, this is very, very important. Any Talmud Chacham has to know this. Rabbi Yehuda says that Dover Sheino Miskaven is Asur, which means, listen carefully, that with regard to Kol HaTorah Kula, Like we spoke about the Nazir who's not allowed to cut his hair. We spoke about the Susirus. In all these cases, or benefiting from Shatnez, you know, if it's a cold day and, you know, he gets, he's traveling around with all these begadim that have Shatnez on it, but he's also warming up his body at the same time. So in all these cases, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're chayav. It's a violation of an Isur D'oraisa, even though it's a Dovr Sheinu Miskav. But in Shabbos, with regard to Melech HaShabbos, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Dovr Sheinu Miskavin is Asur, but it's not Chayav Midoraisa. In other words, here's a quiz question for you. What, in what sphere, in what context in Halacha does Rabbi Yehuda agree to the principle of Dovr Sheinu Miskavin? In Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos requires a Meleches Machsheves. In order to violate Shabbos, you have to be very well thought out and deliberate and do something that is really beneficial, it's really significant, it's not a kilkul, it's a tikkun, and it was done with kavanah. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who allows in Kol HaTorah Kula that Dovr Sheinu Miskavin is chayav, you'll get malchus for Dovr Sheinu Miskavin. The full brunt of the responsibility is upon you. But when it comes to Shabbos, it's only a derabanan, because midoraisa, you're not chayiv. Now, watch this. Remember I told you that when, what's the rule of thumb? When do the rabbanan say that even though the Torah permitted it, we're going to aser it? If universally you'd be chayiv, then the Rabbanan, even though in Shabbos you're not chayav, the Rabbanan are going to upgrade it and equate it with a Doraisa, and they're going to say it's awesome in Rabbanan. But if in Kol HaTorah Kula Bimutar it's a universal heter, then in Shabbos it's going to be mutar. Like for example, Dovr Sheinu Miskavin according to Rav Shimon is mutar for Kol HaTorah Kula, and therefore be mutar in Shabbos without a flinch, without an Isur Derabbanan. Because now Shabbos equals Kol HaTorah Kula, it's mutter and Kol HaTorah Kula, it's mutter and Shabbos. If on the other hand, let's say we have a Melech HaShem Tzricha L'Gufa, which is Chayav in Kol HaTorah Kula, but Potter in Shabbos, going to Rav Shimon, is Rav Shimon is going to say the Rabbanan is us. Again, today LaHashvos, to square it off. Oh. According to Rav Yehuda, since Dovr Sheinu Miskavin is awesome with the rice in Kol HaTorah Kula, that even though in Shabbos it's Potter, and Rav Yehuda can't deny that, but he's going to have to introduce what? An Issa D'Rabban. Why? To equate Shabbos with Kol HaTorah Kula. But Rav Shimon holds that Dovr Sheinu Miskavin is Mutter in Kol HaTorah Kula, therefore in Shabbos there won't be an Issa D'Rabban in the Dovr Sheinu Miskavin. So now what we have is, in the case of L'dam Hutzar U'Pesach M'Mela Ka'asi, we have a combination of three factors. Number one, it's a Dovr Sheinu Miskavin. Number two, it is a Mekalkel. And number three, it's the Tzarech Mitzvah. No, you'll ask me, what right do you have to introduce Dovr Sheinu Miskavin in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says Yechai for Dovr Sheinu Miskavin. The answer is because he was dealing with Hilchos Shabbos. And Hilchos Shabbos, you have a tour of what? Meleches Machsheves. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say that in the worst case scenario, in a Dovr Sheinu Miskavin on Shabbos, you're only violating an Issa D'Rabbanan. Add to that that it's Mekalkel. Add to that that it's Letzorach Mitzvah Bila Rishona. And we can produce a head. I was just wondering if there's another way of going here. What does it mean that he's Mekalkel here? So we said, Rashi explains that a besula chashuva yosef mi haba'ula. Okay. But how do you define kilkul? Yesh lachkar. Does kilkul depend upon the velt, the universal understanding of what you're doing? Or does kilkul depend upon the subject, what he thinks is kilkul? If he thinks that it's beneficial for him, despite the fact that maybe a basula is worth more than a bula, but he wants right now to be boel a basula. So he's not interested in kilkul here. He's interested in tikkun. Ah, the answer is Dovr Sheinu Miskavin. he's interested in taking out the dam. He's not interested, says the Gemara, making a Pesach. So as far as Pesach is concerned, now I can make it into a kilkel. If not for the fact that Lidam Utsar for Pesach with Melakos, if he were interested in actual Pesach, making a Pesach, then I would say it's not a kilkel. You'll ask me, but her value goes down on the market, you know, from 200 to 100, it doesn't matter. He is the one who's doing this malacha, and he wants the Pesach. That would be a Dovra Miskav. And that would completely undermine the category of kilkel. You cannot force kilkel down someone's throat. For you and I, it might be mekilkel. For Reuben and Shimon, it's a mekalkel. But for Levi, he wants to do it, and it helps him. It's beneficial for him. It's not a kilkel. So what is the Gemara hacking here about kilkel? The answer is because Ladam Hutzar. Since Ladam Hutzar and he's Eino Miskavein Lasos Pesach, therefore, if I define the Pesach as kilkel, he's on board as well. He's also saying yeah. Why? Because he couldn't care less about the Pesach. He doesn't want to make a Pesach. He wants to get the dam out. All right, Rabose, let's go on.
Do we only look at his side, or are they?
I don't know. That's what I'm. That's where I'm going out on a limb over here.
No,
you and I would have said we don't care what he wants. It's kilkel, and that's it.
No, but I'm
suggesting that maybe kilkel needs his.
Another question. I'm asking in terms of the woman's involvement in the malacha that's going on.
Ah, I don't think that's relevant to us.
Because of just karka olam, or
no, not because of karka olam, because she's not involved in the malacha.
Why not?
Because she's not making a Pesach. She's not doing kavura.
For the malacha to happen, both of them are
maybe lefeiver. You want to say lefeiver or sipei michshol?
No, she knows all the Shabbos and
no,
she's
but
part
wait a second.
The action that's happening.
When you say she's part of the action, I mean, no. When you say she's part of the action,
yeah.
She's not doing a kavura. She's not doing the chabur. He's doing the chabur. She's not making the Pesach. He's making the Pesach.
Which body is meant not to get graphic, but it depends. They're both moving.
They're both moving. Okay, that's getting graphic.
I
have to tell you
she
that.
She knows what's, in other words, both this action, there are two people, there's two people involved in this action.
Right.
That's why I asked the question, does anybody raise the issue?
I don't think so, again.
In other words, the woman's
I think that he's doing the malacha, not her.
I'm saying that's what Gemara assumes. I was saying this idea of karka olam, that she's not really...
All right, if that helps you, then...
But I don't
if
know.
It'll get you off my back, then take it. You know what I'm
not so sure. In other words, in general, if people share malacha on Shabbos, which is a whole sugi in the Gemara...
Oh, that Shnayim Shasua. You're right. So, but Shnayim Shasua means that two people are carrying together an object.
Why are we...
Here, he's doing the Maisa Biyah.
That's so pashy.
Now, look, you might ask a different question.
That's so pashut.
In Krisus, how could a woman be in violation? It says it says that if there's a boil and an aveles, she'll get the same punishment as him, no less. So that's a lamdas suya in Krisus. That's called the nichrasu hanefashos haosos, meaning at the end of the parsha of Arayas, which
it's
we read on
Yom Kippur, that it's not.
That's a separate halach in onshin because if you apply it's a gemara bava kama also that v'nichrusu anafash sa'osos that in hilchas onshin she might have the din of an osa. Okay, let's go on, Rav Osa, because you know we have to make some margin of progress over here. Okay, what does Gemara say now? The Gemara says, Ika Diamri. Do you have the Ika Diamri? Now, at this point, the Gemara is at a crossroads. And the Gemara now wants to start on a different note in order to be Matir Be'ila Rishona. Ika Diamri, others say, Imtin Tzolom Adam Chiburei Mechberei. Right, until now we've sort of tipped the scale in the direction of Dam Mifkad Pocket. And we removed Dam Chiburi Mechbrei from the records here because that's gonna lead us to an Isur of Chabura. But now the Gemara wants to say, no, you know what? Let's go back and will resurrect Chiburi Mechbri from the dead, and Enochinami, you have a problem here of Chabura. However, Ledam Hu Tzorach V'Yasur, if he wants to get the Dam out either to see if she's a Basula or to Soshalo Yislachlech, then he's in violation of Leches Chabura. Odilma, now the Gemara wants to say no. He doesn't have any interest in taking out the Dam. Lehanos Atzmo Hu Tzorach. He's interested in what? In Anos Atzmo. He's just doing it L'shem Anor. That's all he's focused on. He's not thinking about anything else. And therefore, even though he's making a Chabura, he's not miskaven to make a Chabura. Good. At this point, we have to assume that the halacha is like, right, like Rav Shimon, that Dov Shein Miskavin is Mutter, right? Because again, he's definitely in violation of Leches Chabura. But the Gemara is offering a tzad to say La'anoas Atzmo Hu Tzorich. He's only interested in Hanoas Atzmo, and therefore he's not interested in the Dam. He couldn't care less about the Dam. It doesn't make a lichluch for him. He doesn't have to prove that she's a Besula. He knows she's a Besula, and so forth and so on. Vishari, so now we can be matir under the halacha of Dovar Sheino Miskaven. Yeah, but Vim Tumsol and Anos Atzmo Tzof and Dom and Melikosi halacha Rabbi Yehuda, halacha Rabbi Shimon. Again, it's all going to come back to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a Dovar Sheino Miskaven is also, and therefore it should be also to be Boel, even if Anos Atzmo Miskaven, the Elo Kavan Lashem Hotzoas Hadam. Oh, says the Gemara, maybe it's not a problem. Why? The im tim tzolomar alocha krav yuda, even if I grant you that Dov Shein Miskavin is asur, but mekalkel bechabura, here this chabura is a mekalkel, again as we said before, she becomes devaluated, so to speak, because a besula is more chashuv than a bula, and therefore even according to Rav Yehuda v'mutter, because Rav Yehuda only asks the Dov Shein Miskavin if it's a tikkun. Correct, because as we said before, Dov Shein Miskavin, even according to Rav Yehuda, reduces the Issur D'Oraisa to an Issur D'Rabbanan. And add to that, it's a Mekalkel. And therefore, Mekalkel B'Chabura, in the case of a Dov Shein Miskavin, and if it's also L'Shem Mitzvah, is Mutter. O Dilman, the Gemara says, oh, Misakin B'Chabura, maybe it's not a Kilkel at all. Why? Because now he finds out if she's a Besula. So maybe in objective terms, it could be very possible that it's a Kilkul, but nevertheless, subjectively, in terms of his interest, he would like to know if she's a Besula or not. So that Chabura of taking out Dam is of interest to him. He gains from it. Even though I find this a little bit odd, the Gemara just said that Lanos Atzmo Hu Tzorach. Okay, Lanos Atzmo Tzorach, but if you ask me whether getting the Dam out is a Kilkul or a Tikkun, ask him what would he prefer, with the Dam or with the Dam in or with the Dam out? The answer is he would rather have the Dam out. Okay. Now, do you see the Tosfos Dibur Maskil Im Tim Tzolom on the bottom of your page? Into Tzolomer, the last four lines on the page. Kirab Yehuda, Halakh Rab Yehuda, Makalka B'chaburahu. Mashma, it seems from the Gemara, De'i Halakha Kirab Shimon, if the Halakh would be like Rab Shimon, that Dobra Shein Miskavin is Mutter, Shari, Afilu Hu Mesakin, Kevin Shein Miskavin. Fine. That's not a problem. If you have no kavan according to Rav Shimon and you're masakin, it's still mutter. But kasha, the Gemara has a problem. I mean, Tosa has a problem. Why? Dibbe shilhi. What does shilhi mean? At the end of perek, sofek ochal, right? We all learn creases, right? Actually, I learned the first 11 blotten creases and then I dropped it. The reason for that is when my Rebbe came to up in the summertime, we used to learn with him in Boston, so he decided that year to learn creases. And then we got to a very, very difficult sugya about your kodshim and taris in the case of Yoledes, and I asked the question in Shir and he told me I didn't know what I was batting about and I might as well shut up. You know, he didn't say those words, but he said I'd be better off just listening. So anyway, I lasted through the summer. In fact, my notes on Croesus have now been circulated. I took good notes that summer. And later on in Croesus, on Daf Yutes, we never got to it. It says, Omar Rabbi Shimon, this is the case of Meleches Machabe, Hol Makalkil Bachabura Chayov is Misaseg Nami Chayov. Now this is very strange. We're saying in our Gemara that if he's not miskaven for the Chabura, then according to Rav Shimon it's Muta. And yet the Gemara says that according to Rav Shimon, when it comes to Chabura, if he was Misaseg, like for example, the Gemara has a case where he's removing Dam from Chilazon. And he wants to get it out. It's going to serve as a die, D-Y-E, right? A die. And now what happens is that if he takes too much die, too much blood out of the chilazon, it's going to die. And then he's going to be chayef for meleches chabura, meleches netilas neshama. So the Gemara says that he's misasik. What is he misasik? Because he really is trying very hard to keep the chilazon alive. Not because he... You know, he belongs to the ASPCA, you know, but not because. Why? Because the dye, if you take it out of the live chilazon, is much redder than the dye of a dead chilazon. Okay, so the life and the oxygen adds to the sharpness and the permanence, durability, we'll call it, of the dye.
More green.
Green, is it?
Green comes out green, turns blue.
Green, okay, I say.
It's a real color.
What did I say? I said blue, red, I don't know what I said. Okay. So we'll call it green. Oh, so the Gemara says, but wait a minute. Rav Shimon holds that Misasik b'chabura is chayav. That's Rav Shimon's shita, that there's one malacha of all the 39 where even though you did it for Misasik, you're chayav, and that's called Meleches Chabura. Okay, we'll have to figure out why, but let's take it as a given. Now says Tosfos, I don't get it. You're going to tell me that Dov Shemim is Kavin in the case of Chabura, according to Rav Shimon, is Mutter, when Rav Shimon says that if you do it for Misasek, you're actually Chayev. If you're Chayev for Misasek, then certainly you're going to be Chayev on the Dov Shemim is Kavin. Why should Misasek be more Chomer and worse from Rav Shimon's perspective than Ainu Miskavin? The lack of Kavana expresses itself in the case of Misasek. Look at Tosus's language. He says, V'kosha v'shilmi perek, Sofeg Ochal Omar L'Rav Shimon Hol Mekalke B'Chabura Chayev Misasik Nami Chayev Umay Shno Einu Miskavin Deinu Miskavin Poter Rav Shimon B'Chabura Tfei Misasik. Why is Einu Miskavin more fundamental than Misasik? What I mean by more fundamental, meaning more of a Ptur than Misasik. It's a beautiful, beautiful kash. The Teretz is even more beautiful. Look at his answer. Mom is stunning. V'yesh lomar, d'misasek, k'shemiskavein l'malacha, lo mifter b'shavis, ela mishum di'ein zeh meleches machsheves, mishum hachi, chayev l'Rav Shimon b'chabura, k'mo mekalke b'chabura d'mechayev Rav Shimon. Says Tosfos, Dov Shein miskavein and misasek are two worlds. They're worlds apart. They should never be equated. Misasek is a separate p'tur of Meleches Machsheves, says Tosfos. Whereas Dover Shein Miskavin is a universal p'tur. When we're dealing with Chabura as a Melacha, and we want to know whether Misasek is p'tur Achayev, the answer is that the general, universal, Shabbos Halacha, I should say, of Meleches Machsheves is not applicable to Meleches Chabura. Meleches Chabura is unique. You can be chayev in a mekalkel situation. You can be chayev in a misasek situation. But he had kavana for the malacha. And if he had kavana for the malacha, then it's a unique p'tur of misasek in Shabbos because of Meleches Machsheves. Ledugma, I'll give you an example. A man wants to pick up black. But let's say there are two different vegetables that are growing in the ground. One is black and one is white. And he wants to pick up the black ones, and inadvertently he picked up the white ones. He had kavana for the malacha of kotzer, but not in this cheftz, in a different cheftz. So the classical example in Chabura, but you won't believe this, is a moel. What happened was there were two babies that were born, and one of them reached its eighth day on Yom Rishon on Sunday, the other reached its eighth day on Shabbos, and he was doing the milah for both babies, and he mistakenly did the milah of the one that was meant to be pushed off until Sunday. He did it on Shabbos. So Gemara says, in such a case, he's misasek eitzel chabura. But keep in mind, he was going to do a chabura. He intended to do a chabura. But on which baby? Not on baby X, but on baby Y. I don't give names because it's before the bris. Just kidding. So the answer is that according to Rav Shimon, even though he's misasek, but that's the nature and the unique status of Aleches Chabura that Yechayev even Vinsasek. Because there's a halacha in Chabura that the normal principle of Maleches Machsheves is suspended. And although in the case where you wanted to pluck the black ones and you accidentally plucked the white ones, you are potter in Shabbos because of the chisar of Maleches Machsheves. As I told you before, Maleches Machsheves means it's deliberate, it's well thought out. Here, what I thought out deliberately was to get the black ones, instead I got the white ones. That would be potter, but in Chabura, you're chayv. Again, in both cases, whether it's Chabura or any other malach of the 38 remaining malachas, you had kavanah for the malach, but not in this particular cheftza. And therefore, in 38 out of the 39 malach, it's the chisaron in Maleches Machsheves in Yipot. But in the case of Chabura, as one malach amongst the 39, you're chayev, even if normally it would not be a Maleches Machsheves because it's misas. That has nothing to do with Dovah Sheinu Miskavin. Dovah Sheinu Miskavin means he had no kavana for the malacha. Misasik means he had kavana for the malacha, but he didn't want it in this chefta. But Dovah Sheinu Miskavin means he didn't have kavana for the malacha at all. He wanted to carry the benches and he made charitzim. He wanted to wear the begadim in order to transport them and sell them. He didn't have any interest in warming up his body. And so forth and so on. The case of Nazir that we discussed, the case of Maleches, of the violation of the Averis Mesares, and so forth and so on. Rabosai, that's what Tosis means to say. Then Rav Shimon's halacha of Dovah Sheinu Miskavin is a universal halacha. It has nothing to do with Maleches Machsheves. And therefore, to the same extent that Dovah Sheinu Miskavin is mutter called Tarkul, it's mutter on Shabbos. Even in Maleches Chabura, the unique status of Maleches Chabura according to Rav Shimon is only within the context of Maleches Machsheves, and therefore Rav Shimon says that the Ptur of Makalkel and Maleches Machsheves doesn't apply to Chabura. The Ptur of Misasek that's unique to Maleches Machsheves doesn't apply to Chabura. But when you're talking about a Ptur of Kol HaTorakul, universal nature, and you're just applying it here in Shabbos, then Rav Shimon would say it's Mutter. And therefore, Tosis's question is answered. Okay, then we'll stop here because I see they're giving us the clarion call for Baruch. For Dovah Sheinu Kedusha, according to some. Baruch Adinoi Amvarach, you hear this, Tosis of Mamish? This is one of the most lumpish places in the shop. A beautiful piece of lumpish. I closed my eyes and thought I was reading with Kai.